Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Yes, Ms. Joanne, good morning. I have a concern relating to the protocols for the arriving guests. I'm in the micro visitor vacation accommodation business, mm-hmm. trying to prepare now protocols for staff and the visitors as well. I am not sure what is going to happen with this second COVID test that is to be done in Barbados after you arrive with a first negative test from your country of origin.
Sorry, say that again. The last sentence. My apologies. Didn't hear that?
Okay. Then the second COVID test that will be done in Barbados for people arriving from the
hot spots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 90% of my visitors are out of the UK and America.
Mm-hmm.
Less out of Canada. Very small percentage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really concerned about what is going to happen when my guest comes in. They've been tested from home, country of origin, test is negative. They come into Barbados. They come in. When they get, is everyone subject to this part two, let me call it, second test in Barbados after they arrive between day 5 and day 7?
Apparently only those coming from the high-risk areas.
But which would include, let me say, all of my visitors coming out of high-risk areas?
Well, basically, if that is, for sure, the U.S. is one of them. And
right.
I think U.K. Also follows, possibly. Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that my guest comes from the airport. They come to the they come into the villa. No, are they supposed to be on quarantine for those waiting for the government to give them this test?
Well, if they're coming from a high risk area,
yes.
And
I've already made that assumption that they're coming from a
high risk. And I believe, remember, they're to produce the COVID negative tests that would have been done.
I'm assuming, I'm fast tracking. They brought in their own.
They'll have to do another one here.
Of origin.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Barbados now. They've left the airport. They've come to the villa.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, when they arrive at the villa, are they supposed to be quarantined awaiting the test that the government is going to give them?
This is the first test we're talking about.
This would be the first test in Barbados.
Right. My understanding, and again, it would be very good for the SAR to come in on this to explain. My understanding is they can stay at the hotel at their own expense, or they can use one of the places earmarked for testing, which would be Paragon and one or two other places they might have earmarked.
My understanding, what you just said applies if they never took the test from country of origin, if they're not coming in here with any negative paperwork. My thing is, my guests, let's say, come in with a negative test from, say, London, but they are coming to stay at a villa. They're not at a hotel. This is a private villa. My question is, are they supposed to be now in quarantine awaiting for the government to perform a test for them to see now if their negative was a true negative?
Well, again, we'll put that out there for the SAR. I'm looking at trying to find the protocols that were sent out by the BTMI.
I have looked at all the different pieces, because there's not one place where you can get all the information, but I've put together from looking at the various
you've checked that one too as well.
I've done visitbarbados.org. I've mm-hmm. done the Grantley Adams Airport protocols. I've done the GIS protocols. So I've looked at everything. My concern is, if I am supposed to have guests who are waiting for a second test from the government.
Not a second test from the government, the first test from the government coming in.
Right, the first test from the government coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Are they supposed to be restricted to their villa 24/7 until that test and results come back? And how do I manage that?
Well, it says, sir, travelers without a negative COVID-19 PCR test result will be required to take a test upon arrival. Okay? So I would imagine, and I saw a really nice video of all the setups and where you get the tests.
The ones that don't come in with a test, they're not my concern, because they're going to be isolated by the government. The ones that I am concerned about are the ones that came in with a negative test result, but the government is saying because you're from a high-risk country and that there is a 15% failure rate on the test being done overseas, we want to make sure that your negative test that you came in with is really negative. We're going to test you within day 5 to 7 of your being on the island. Those are the guests that I'm concerned about.
Okay, the ones that don't get the immediate pull back at the airport, but the ones that get this test day 5 and day 7 because they're coming in negative with the certificate, but it's high
risk.
They're
coming negative, but based on what happened with the flight of a week ago on Saturday, my concern is what...
You're quite right. I'm not seeing anything to cover what you are saying.
Are they supposed to be in quarantine? Because I'm a micro business, but I have five accommodations within the same complex. So they're going to be other guests that are there. Are these ones that are coming from high risk supposed to be isolated, which means staying in their villa, not going on the? I have a common of a pool. Are they not supposed to be on the pool? And who is this? Many of my guests come in and go straight to the supermarket to bring in their shopping before they even arrive at the villa.
Well, I'm going to it would be nice if you could leave your number with John, because if we can get the SAR in, maybe we can get to call you back on this one. And so that, because it's very important, you're making some valid points. I don't see it covered. Again, the only way around that, in my opinion, would be to test them on arrival, and like they're doing the others. But I understand what you're saying is that if it's negative coming in, and then they're saying that you have to wait the 5 to 7 days because you came in with a COVID negative from a high risk area, what's going to happen between the 5 to 7 days?
That's right.
Yeah.
If you're telling me they're supposed to be self-quarantining, who is going to monitor that at 10 o'clock at night, midnight?
Well, that's what we were saying earlier. Do we look at the quarantine and say, well, seeing that we've legislated curfew, are we going to consider legislating quarantine, because we find that people are not doing what they're supposed to do, and we may have to take some steps in order to control it?
Let me put my shoes on as the guest.
Mm-hmm.
I book a flight to come on holiday to spend 10 days. The average visitor rental is between 10 days to 2 weeks coming out of the UK. That's a standard 10 days, 2 weeks. I come in here. You really think, Joanne, that you're going to keep me? I've been tested in my country of origin. My country of origin says I am negative. I come into Barbados, I spend my money, do everything, want to have a good time. You really think that you can send me and tell me to quarantine until I get another test from Barbados? I can be out and about doing my thing.
Well, I totally understand what you're saying. And
how do
I'm hoping.
And how do I protect my staff? Because it's not about protecting the visitor, it's about protecting my staff.
Didn't a set of protocols go out for hoteliers and people who have villas, etc., Airbnb?
We have all the protocols, and Miss Joanne, as I tell you, people are saying reduce the cost for visitors. Let me tell you, extra signage now. Signage now has to go up in all your common areas. You have to get PEP now for your household staff. You now have to do a whole lot of other things that you did not have to factor in. These are costs that are going to increase. And for a micro business, I'm not a hotel chain. I am not, a small hotel. I am a micro business. You know what that is going to do in order to protect my staff?
I have some WhatsAppers who are saying that I don't understand what you're saying, and I'm just funny enough because they're not listening. I'm actually saying I understand what you're saying, and we're trying to reach out to the SAR to see if he can address it.
So,
WhatsAppers, I do fully understand. You have a valid point, but it requires an answer.
We have hundreds, Miss Joanne, of micro businesses in the rental vacation. If you were to go on Airbnb, BRBN Home Away. There are hundreds of small micro businesses, independent owners who are going to be faced with this exact same problem. Bizarre needs to be clear for, and not only that, I have to send instructions to the guests before they arrive as to what are going to be the expectations for them when they arrive at the villa. It's not just a case of for me. They have to know, it has to be in their rental contract that they abide by these COVID-19 guidelines based on the government of Barbados. It has to be clear in their contract. Because if they breach it, then there are consequences. So it's not just a case of what I would like. It's a case of this has to be into their contract as well.
So, All right,
John, if you can, I will listen in.
I want you to give your number to John, though, the producer. Stay on the line, okay? Because still want to speak to you even after the show. Very interesting. The WhatsApp messages are coming fast and furious. People are very upset. Some with the protocols, some with me, some with the caller. One person is saying that there are protocols in place and the lady just needs to follow them. But I think they don't understand when who's to mandate, who's to control when they come in and have to be tested in 5 to 7 days. You know, what is she supposed to do? She can't control them. She can't say, well, you can't go for dinner. Well, she could, but will they stay? So when you're asking tourists now, she's talking to self-quarantine, who helps with managing that and if she is required to do that as the owner? Down to Brass Tacks, 1120, you are on the air. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Hay. How are you today?
I am very good. How are you?
I am good and bad. Okay. I must agree with Tallboy with the public service vehicles not using the mask and encouraging the passengers to use their mask as well. I live in the central area, central Barbados, where there's only ZRs. And if you can see the amount of ZR drivers and the passengers in the vans not using their mask, it got me sick to the point where I had to go into town today to buy something. And you know what I did? I called some person that works in Bridgetown and asked them to purchase the things they want, and I will give them the money when they come this evening. That's how afraid I am of not wearing masks on these bad hours. Let's do a little arithmetic. Let me say, for argument's sake, that 10 people in my area decide, well, we ain't catching the ZR, we can get somebody that works in town. Buy what we want and bring it first. You know that's $7? Because you got to go and come. So let's just tell you that's $70. And if that go on for a week, you know that's $490 out of the ZR purse that's stopping because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. But they will say that they're making the money when they are contributing to not making money. You say how stupid they are, Miss Hayes. I was in a ZR, and the driver argued with me that not the law about you to wear masks and this and that. And I said to myself, you know, when they go this year, I ain't getting back in that. But if we can keep out of town, I ain't going. Called a stupid.
I understand how you feel. I mean, but I wouldn't comment too much on the description.
The stupidity.
Well, continue. You continue.
And if you know that there's laws or there's a rule that you must wear a mask, why can't you wear a mask? If you don't want to wear the mask, listen, boys.
But then you can only be talking about the drivers. You're going to be talking about people who don't do it, period.
And the people that get in the van don't do it either. Mm. And they're not saying anything to them. This can't be fair to other people that want to.
Do you think it's ignorance on their part in terms of lack of knowledge, or do you think it's a case that they just don't care?
They just don't care. All they want is to get you $350. All they want is to get you a $350.
You know, it's kind of sad that you would say that, because if you want to get $350 and not live long enough to spend it, kind of defeats the whole purpose of getting it.
But that only goes to show how foolish that they are. From the time you get in my van, you got to put on a mask, and they can go on one. Everything can be, you got to sit close to people. And some of them to be talking to friends or something, and they go on a mask. You can feel good in the van. And somebody talking, they go on the mask, but you go on one.
But again, it's not only in the van that we're seeing it. This morning I passed a school, parents outside, and some had on masks and some didn't, and they're in big groups talking, four and five. You have to understand, and I think we all do, this whole COVID pandemic has everybody behaving a little different. Some people are extremely scared. Some people are so fed up of hearing COVID, they just tuned out completely and just want to feel normal. And they're not practicing the things that they should practice. Is it dangerous? Of course. But understand where the mindsets of many people are right now. There's some people, somebody brought to my attention that apparently there might have even been four suicides since we started COVID.
Oh,
and not saying it's related, but we don't know, but allegedly four suicides. There are people talking about domestic abuse increasing because of the lockdown, but then nobody, in my opinion, remembered the abuse that children may be going through too. Parents are losing their cool, and sometimes when they're losing the cool, they may be screaming a little, you know, louder, or children may be being beaten because of the frustrations. You know, we have a lot going on. And this morning, of course, I can't stop anyone from discussing anything they want to discuss. But the concerns really are about the protocols, if it can be explained, if it's something that can be reviewed, because people are concerned. And the other thing I'm concerned about is the employment opportunities for persons who have been laid off in the hotel sector. No. I think that is so important as to how we're going to pick up the slack there, because after these benefits of, even if they increased it to, I think, 22 weeks, that's going to go. Children are eating more and more at home. The longer a child is at home, the more they're going to eat, you know? And these are, everything is, they're all real issues, huh? COVID taking center stage, yes. There are people who are being impacted because of COVID and not because of the actual dying from the disease. So I just trying to see how best we can manage living in a COVID environment, creating a new norm, and seeing how we can get some employment for people if they can recreate themselves.
Before we go, you know, I had like the lockdown, though, you know? Mm-hmm. I had like the lockdown, and if these people, these jokers, want another lockdown, it can affect me one way according to the lockdown before.
But yes, but you still got to understand that as you may be accustomed being at home and like that, there's some people who are not, and there are people who got to go out there and earn a living. People are scared because they want to go out and earn a living, but they don't want to bring back a disease to the children, to the grandmother. Some people are mindful. Other people you're trying to figure out and said, okay, so there's nobody in your family with high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, all these comorbidities that people have. Sometimes you see people walking around and you're wondering, do you not have someone at home or somewhere that you have to contact that you care about enough? At least put on the mask. That much that you can ask them. And not for the whole day. Put the mask on when it's required. I think that's really what is supposed to be said. This thing about keeping your mask on, some people are obviously misunderstanding the whole concept. It doesn't mean keep it on all the time. When you're walking around, it means when it's required, when you're up close with someone and you know that you are going to be less than 3 feet with them, then you put on your mask. It's an applied sense thing. But anyway, thank you so much. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air. Hi, Rosie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, actually. I'm good.
I called to talk about two things, but I didn't want to call the other one. But now I get to the three. The lady that who just called in about her business and tourists and things. that is some of my concern also with the workers, because as you say, you cannot tell a person to sign in a room 24/7. Either a child, they're going to sneak up and go and do what they have to do. And as my sister working to prison, a very hard worker in tourism for years, that is my concern about her with these tourists. I know the country needs money. I know that there is out of work. And they need money also because they have their children, their mortgage, their house rent to pay. And as you said, some receive their insurance. Yeah, so I know all of that. And as Peter said, we have to look after our own safety. I think the only that we can protect us is us, as the colleagues here, news and do what we're supposed to do. Because when you keep looking at the different countries, especially as in America, even parents ain't want their children to go back to school. They're up there marching that children will not go back to school. My second one is, you speak about the changes that the changes that are at home. Persons never think about the disabled children at home. You can't take them to the next door neighbor. You can't take them to the nursery.
Person
don't want to touch them, take care of them. Some parents have to work. And we never think about those children in schools. What the parents is doing with those children. Last week I heard a caller remember me, and I thank him for remembering me, the work that I've done, so thank him. I don't hear that, I thank him. And my last one is the Dennis Johnson. And Dennis Johnson, I hope you listen. You believe that we will see an electric bus when you remember on the way to program how we fight and keep our star house bus for the disabled. And when they bring in the first 2 sets of the disabled buses, it will be a lot of talk about them also. I live to see that those 2 first sets of disabled buses continues every day. So this I see them on the road, and they look beautiful to me. I can't wait to go inside where I can really speak about them. So to Dennis Johnson, I am glad that you are still along, and I am still along, at least in history, the electric buses, because we never taught our genes that it will come to this court just to have 5 buses with a lot of stress ahead of it. So thanks, and I wish you a lot better. Have a good day, Joanne.
Thanks, Rosie. All the best to you, too. Stay safe. Down to Brass Tacks, 11:32. You are on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Joanne. How are you?
I am very good. What about you?
Well, good. You know, you're my girl, right?
Okay.
Very, very good. Joanne, I got a reason down with you, with Miss, the lady, Miss Undecided.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was on par this morning. Look, Joanne, we got to realize we come a long way with this COVID. The Prime Minister did a great job in steering it and controlling it. We also have to put our feet down and recognize, although we may want the dollar, we need the dollar, we must make everyone understand, everyone. No racist, no black, this and a black, no white issue here. Everyone, we don't care who you are, what you have, or how much you have, you will follow our protocols. You will follow our protocols. I was a not look. And the thing is, why we got to keep that rampant still is because where these people are coming from, you know, the rates are very high. The rates are very, very high. So, we don't want to choose no color, class, nor creed, or anything like that. We want to welcome you by you going with our protocols. Wealth come after. Don't bring your wealth here and think that going to work. Wealth, we put in wealth, we put in health first before wealth. My second point. Mm-hmm. My second point. Joyon, mm-hmm. Inquiries in Barbados. I am going to go as far as to say, inquiries in Barbados is a total waste. Total waste of time, total waste of money, spending money, total waste of everything. Joyon, could you have a recall? I can name a few inquiries that nothing came out of them, but I'm not going to call them or mention them. But I am going to ask you, you ever recall an inquiry in Barbados where someone was brought to justice? The answer you're going to tell me is no. It's no. It's a big capital N.
I'm just laughing at you answered before I could even think, but go on.
But I know you're going to tell me. I know you have to tell me no. There are no spots in Barbados where there were inquiry, and when the inquiry is finished, you hear or you can read on, well, so is found guilty and would have to serve 10, 20, 15 years.
But what if now, the inquiry, there was the inquiry, they weren't found guilty of it? I mean, that's still coming to bringing it to closure.
But I ain't dealing with that. I'm dealing with that. When these inquiries is finished, mm-hmm. totally finished, and you know that some of these inquiries that we had here, somebody should be brought to punishment. You
only if they're
that.
Found guilty.
But no. No. Look, you got to be careful what you're saying here.
It's true. You can only punish someone after the inquiry is done and they're found guilty, and then you could say, well, nothing came out of it after they were found guilty.
Miss Joy, mm-hmm. listen to me. Mm-hmm. If your memory is not sharp, then mine's sharp enough. I know of inquiry, at least one in Pacific, mm-hmm. where person or persons should be brought to justice. And nothing come out of that. And then,
you're talking about an investigation or an inquiry into something where it's a formal something where they're set up and they have to answer questions, and then a committee then sums it up to say, well, okay, we found you guilty. There's a difference between somebody investigating something and then charges being brought.
Yes, I'm talking about that type of inquiry.
I'm talking about the inquiry
where there's a committee,
okay.
where there's lawyers and so on, mm-hmm. and they yap, then mm-hmm. they take a break at 2:00 and go to the biggest hotel and have the dinner, come mm-hmm. back again and yap, and mm-hmm. nothing comes out of it.
No verdict.
A waste of time, and I can, if these programs were more open up, where you can talk, and without putting the station in trouble, I can go that deep.
Okay, well, let's not do that today.
You're not even doing that. So, you know, it's a waste. A lot of inquiries here, waste of total time. Now, my last point, Miss Joyon. Now, the gentleman with the ZRs, what that man is saying is true. You look around, you see a Zedar, which is enclosed there, which has 15, they're allowed to carry 12 or 15 passengers, I think, and they're enclosing. You know, when you sit in there, you're cramped up, because it's only a small vehicle, and for load is 12 or 15. Now, the authorities need to give the bike patrollers give them some sort of power. Give the traffic cops some sort of power that if the driver is caught without a mask, or if the passengers in that vehicle does not have a mask, he holds that vehicle there. He calls the next awaiting vehicle, and you and the passenger exit that van and enter the arriving police vehicle straight to courts, and they fine $1,000 each. We can't play around with this thing. Do these people want to close off the country again?
Let me ask a question that some people may not be thinking of. What about the sanitizing of a van in between or throughout the journey?
Nothing wrong with that.
No, but I'm saying that how often, who determines how often? Because you start, say, at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
Maybe you sanitize your van before you put your passengers in.
Yes.
By 10 o'clock, 200-300 people come in and out.
Yes.
And the van ain't clean. Because by then, everything, whoever got coal, whoever got this, touch up everything, in and out the van. So it's hard to police this thing with COVID public transport.
That could be police. That could be police.
How?
No.
How?
Then.
How?
You install health people inside the ZR stands, because they have to come in there. And
but they don't have to. A lot of them don't.
Well, they should. But the honest ones who's come direct in there and finish the route and wait for the loads and so on, right, we're dealing with them. Mm-hmm. Right, we will catch the culprits. We will catch them one way, the other culprits one way or another. So what you do, you have some health inspectors inside the terminal. And these vans start to work around 6, 5 o'clock. So these health inspectors will sanitize these vehicles around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, so that then they can finish their work hours then till about 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock when they finish. So it could be police a little. It could be.
Or the commuter does the right thing by making sure that they sanitize their hands as soon as they come out, keep their mask on for the journey.
Yeah.
And not leave it up to the bus driver to sanitize the vehicle. But I know that has been a concern. Some people ask me about the bus driver.
Is a powerful man too, Miss A. The bus driver is a powerful man. When he stopped, he see you because you've got what you want to stop him. He is the first person to see you. Now, if you don't have on a mask, first thing he's to say to you, excuse me, sir, you have to put on the mask. If you don't want to put on a mask, he has the power to tell you don't get in. If you insist you're going to get in, you drive the vehicle to the first police station. Don't let, because a lot of these guys out there are real ignorant. A lot of them will want to beat him or even shoot him.
They would have to be very careful of this confrontation that may occur with passengers now in a big argument. The thing is, every which way we turn, there's going to be some issues. All we can do is minimize some of the problems, some of the fallout, some of the whole issue of the spread. You are never at this stage, unless there's a vaccine or it just disappears by some miracle, get rid of COVID and all the problems that has coming. But you can minimize, as you were discussing here, minimize. As many of the issues that you can, but it's still up to human beings. And I think that the government, in all honesty, when I keep hearing things about, you're leaving it up to the citizens, one about the quarantining and leaving it up to the citizens to exercise good judgment, that scares me. I've accepted all the other protocols. I think that it's fair. I believe they need to be tweaked in terms of, like, that lady who called about her business and hopefully we can hear some information about that. Yes. But as far as this mandatory, actually, mandatory means when it's on the government property. Yes. Self-quarantine now means you got to go home and be responsible.
Yes.
That part is the part that I am personally scared about, that people are not doing. Your final word, sir, because we're just going to go on.
Okay, mister, can I leave my number with the producer? I want to discuss something with you.
Sure.
Off there. So I want to leave my number with the producer.
No problem. All right. Thank you. Down to Brass Tacks, 11:43. We're going to soon break for the regional roundup. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Ms. Hay, I just wanted to talk about this COVID thing. I think a lot of people are confused because there's not a lot of clarity coming from the government, especially with this press release. For most of us, when we heard the talk about opening to tourists and commercial flights again, there was never actually any mention of quarantine unless people arrived without the pre-testing 72 hours beforehand. So it is amazing to me to hear everybody now up in arms about the issue of quarantine and self-quarantine. There was never any mention of quarantine. And if you look at the visitbarbados.org or the BTMI protocols that are out there, the word quarantine for these people, even from high and medium risk places, the word quarantine is not there. At most, on the visitbarbados.org site, it says they may be monitored, and word may means it's not mandatory. They may be monitored. They don't tell you what the monitored means, if it's a phone call, if it's quarantine, nothing. It says may be monitored, right? And I think this is where a lot of the confusion came, because that press release, and I agree with Mr. Ellis yesterday, that press release, I don't know if they were trying to get ahead of something, but there was not enough clarity in that for people to understand what this meant going forward. A lot of questions are still not answered from that press release. Why were those five people tested? Was it because they were sitting next to the one person who was positive on the flight? Did they retest the whole flight and they caught those five people? That's why a lot of people are confused about whether this seven-day thing retest is going to be...
Or is it that five people just said, I'm not feeling well?
Or is it that five people said, I'm not feeling well, and they tested them? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that opens a lot of other issues about why the press release was put out the way it was. Because when I read it, I think one of the articles, it made it look as though we had done an amazing job. Reminding me very much of something up north. We did a great job. So it would actually tell us if something great happened or something not so great happened.
Do you think that they're doing a good job so far, though?
I think that we've been lucky. You know, I think, so bear with me.
Uh-huh.
When this government talks now, and mind you, I'm a supporter, right? But when this government speaks now about our readiness for COVID and opening for tourists, etc., they actually, like, talk about the fact that, you know, look, 4 months ago we didn't have enough tests and we weren't prepared. But mind you, if you listen 4 months ago, they sat and they told you, we are prepared, we can do this, this is why we're not closing the airport, because we were prepared. Because, I mean, I don't have a short memory. We kept the airport open for a very, very long time until the flights stopped coming on their own accord. And back then we were told it's because, you know, we are prepared. So now, 3-4 months later, they say, oh, we weren't prepared back then, but we are prepared now. So what we need is some clarity on what actually happened with those five people who turned out to be positive. That will help people to understand what happens going forward. And furthermore, the repatriation flights were the ones that had the word quarantine attached to it. Whether it was mandatory in a facility or if people were allowed to go home for their quarantine is something that we'll never really know.
Oh, but no, we know. It was said that it was self-quarantine for persons. It came over the news when they were interviewing. From the repatriation flight.
So right now, the lady from the village, she's right to be concerned and confused, because the person who wrote in and told her follow the protocols is not understanding the fact that the protocols are not clear. What does may be monitored mean, right? There's no quarantine word in the protocol for tourists, for high risk or medium. It says they may be tested.
Which you know, but I'll say it again for the public. Based on your country of embarkation, persons who arrive with a negative COVID-19 PCR test may advance to immigration, baggage claim, and customs, and will be permitted to leave the airport.
That is the BTMI protocols. But if you go to the visitbarbados.org, they say travelers from high-risk countries may be monitored daily for the onset of symptoms and may be subjected to follow-up second to a follow-up second COVID-19 PCR test.
So they put out this, and then they have something additional and somewhere else?
It says if this second test is negative, active monitoring will stop. Travelers from moderate-risk countries will be monitored for 7 days. Nobody knows what monitored means. Nobody knows what may means, and so therefore the lady from the villa is quite right to be confused. So what if they were to explain to us what really happened on that flight with the five people who turned up positive? If we realize, you know, whatever happened there, then we might... So because now people are saying, well, is this the protocol to retest everybody at 7 days? I want to know if everybody on that first flight was retested. I mean, I still don't know that. I mean, this is the lack of clarity that...
This is the repatriation flight that you're talking about.
The repatriation flight. It
was said that they were all tested. They were tested when they came in. It was said that that was the first test. It was said then that 7 days later, here's where the trick is with the press release that people, as you said, it was not clear. Was this something that you had already planned to say this is going? There's going to be a second test. And as you rightfully indicated, or is it a case where five people said, I'm not feeling well, that led to the second test? There was supposed to be a second test, why then were they allowed to just self-quarantine? Why wasn't it mandatory at the very least?
So, you know, and this is the thing is, right, I mean, we recognize that there are going to be health consequences if the economy is destroyed, right? Because I think people don't, when the people call in and say, you know, keep the borders closed or what's not, a broke country cannot pay for health care. So even if we keep our borders closed indefinitely and we don't have any money, you know, you will go down to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital with your heart attack and there will be nothing to take care of you down there. So you will have death and you will have morbidity even if you close the borders. But this time it won't be from COVID. So, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, we shouldn't open the borders. I'm saying what I want is some clarity from the government when it comes to these protocols. Mm-hmm. And if a protocol is updated, like that seven-day thing, honestly, for somebody who follows it, that seven-day thing kind of caught me off guard.
So can I say this, and I'm asking you, I should say, minus that, because I think we all can agree, some clarity. I think most of us are concerned about the quarantine rules, self versus mandatory. But outside of that, in your opinion, has the government, because you said, you know, we got lucky, but don't you attribute some of that luck, if you want to put it that way, to some of the methods that they would have put in place?
Well, I'll be very, very frank. The thing that I think that was the best idea that was put forward and taken through by this government was the opening of an isolation facility. Many other countries, I don't want to call a name, but I think another Caribbean country, perhaps the Bahamas, they allow people who were positive to self-isolate. So we are complaining about self-quarantine, but these were people who were actually positive, and I think they were allowed to
self-isolate, which is a little more scary.
Which I think is a disaster waiting to happen. So having an isolation facility, I think, was a good shot. Mm-hmm. But having, in my opinion, and in the opinion of other people I've spoken to, understand, you know, this whole medical thing as well, you know, not having tests in the early stages when we had like 500 and claiming that we should keep the airport open to commercial flights was, no matter what the outcome is, good or bad, that was a bad idea. We were lucky that the airlines stopped flying, because had we insisted on this, keeping the airport open, and here's the big problem with it. We were testing people by temperature and stuff, and now we know, and even back then, we knew that there were significant percentages of asymptomatic positive people, and we knew that pre-symptomatic and asymptomatic people were spreading the disease. So telling me that you had people in 14 days in quarantine, and if I remember correctly, there was one lady who traveled and returned here and tested positive at day 31 or 35. So, you know, all
remember
of
that one.
This is why I say that we were lucky.
We
14
do.
Days, and then you were free to roam.
This WhatsApper says, Joanne, can you ask some of the callers what they would like the government to implement? Read the protocols for visitors coming to Barbados for holiday. I want to hear how they would handle the present situation. And that's good, too, because I guess we're here to find solutions. And I would like to start with myself again. My concern is the quarantine. And it should be mandatory in terms of when they come in. And if it's self-quarantine, and I should say it should be monitored. Mandatory quarantine allows for persons to go to Paragon, etc., where they're monitored by the government. Self-quarantine is a different setup. I would like to see that controlled and mandated and legislated, and even wearing ankle monitors. And the reason I say that is that the day, God forbid, that this country has a problem greater than the beds that they have for persons with COVID-19. So, for example, you've got 40 beds at Harrison's Point. You've got some and more in Paragon. You may, and note I said may, run out of beds. So when you have the patients exceeding the amount of beds, and a lot of them may be asymptomatic, they're not showing any symptoms, you may then ask for them to self-isolate. Now, if you don't monitor the self-isolation, then we're in trouble. So why not consider monitoring the self-quarantining first by maybe ankle monitors and legislating it, so that if you have to move from self-quarantine to self-isolation, and it could happen, then you would have had all the measures in place so you can switch from one to the next, and that person then can be charged for leaving home if the government has mandated that they need to stay at home. Down to brass tacks, you're on the air. Ma'am, I think you're still there. Yes?
Yes, I am. Yes. I was going to move on, but I think I want to answer just one thing about that WhatsApper's comment. Mm-hmm. One of the things I'm perplexed by, and I understand it has to do with availability of testing, etc., but there's no way anyone should get on the flight without the pre-test in 72 hours. Even though it's flawed, even though the negative predictive values are pretty high, etc., for this PCR test, etc., there is no point in having a flight where, say, 20 people have not pre-tested, and those 20 people are positive. Because now you have the risk of them spreading it to people who have their negative pre-test, who get to walk around the island freely, but we won't know. Even if we were to test everyone on that flight as they arrived, even the ones who had the pre-test, they are not going to test positive because the time period is too short. So, and then, of course, when we have 20 people on a flight come in and test positive, and we say, oh, we did a great job, our protocols worked, we captured them, that's 20 people in our isolation facility that the taxpayers now have to feed, when we could have left those 20 people at JFK or, you know, Heathrow or something.
But can I stop you there? You know, that can only happen if the airline industry, together with the countries, on the same page. This is why we're going a little, everybody's going crazy with these protocols. You can't have one in one country. For example, you should not be able to get on a flight. Nothing to do with what Barbados says. You shouldn't be able to leave New York, for example, if you have tested positive. You shouldn't be able to get on an airplane. So I'm not even worried about coming.
But we can't control that.
No, that's why I said we can't control it. But if there was a way for the airline industry, just the same way how American decided they weren't flying anymore and Air Canada and everybody stopped, why can't they, when they're starting back their flights, agree to protocols that we don't have to worry ourselves as a country, any country, because it starts with the airline industry by saying, look, we have our protocols and you're not getting on this flight if you are positive, if you're not tested, for example.
I don't think so, because there are people in the U.S. who travel a lot for work, you mm-hmm. know, so what, these people are going to be tested every week, every 2 weeks if they travel a lot. But I think we don't have to rely on the airline industry. Like any country which has a visa system for coming in, you have to meet certain requirements. And one of the requirements for Barbados should be the mandatory pre, and yes, it has flaws, but you don't, we do, if 20 people come in on one day or 40 people come in, if you have three flights come in and 40, 45 of those people test positive on arrival because they did not have the pretest, we will now have our Harrison Point facility with 45 people positive in it and from one day. This, it does not make any sense to me, right? So that is the first thing I would say. As for quarantine and stuff, the reality is if we want tourists and money, we cannot facilitate a quarantine for tourists. When we have four flights coming in, when things pick up and we have four flights, five flights coming in a day, you cannot quarantine 1,000 people and track and trace 1,000 people. People just need to accept and swallow that opening to tourism is a pretty big risk. It's not a we're going to manage risk. It's a big risk, but we have to weigh the benefits of having money to support our health and education systems versus having no COVID in the country. So people have to put that in their pipes and smoke it. I'm not happy about it either, but at least I can see the reality of the issue. But further on to that, if other things that the government should do, from the studies first came out, first of all, we had the observational evidence that countries that wore masks, like South Korea, like Japan, like Taiwan, even Hong Kong, these people are in close proximity to China. They had people moving back and forth all the time, and yet they did not have the disastrous outbreaks of Italy, of France, of Spain, of the United Kingdom, and of the USA, right? Why is it that our government, especially now that we have reopened the country, especially since we have not mandated quarantines for tourists because we recognize that you can't do it and attract people here, what is the government? Why is it, has the government not mandated the wearing of face masks in an indoor setting or in an outdoor setting of large numbers and high activity? And I say this because outdoors is obviously safer than indoors, right? But if you look at the football match between a team in Italy and a team in Spain, if you have people outdoors in high numbers cheering, jumping, screaming, singing, you're still going to spread the virus at a higher rate than if you're just outdoors at the beach hanging about. So I think it's time. So the pre-testing should be mandatory to come on the flight, because we just can't afford to fill up the isolation center with people who we easily could have weeded out. Mm-hmm. And secondly, we need to mandate wearing of masks in every indoor setting, especially if you have air conditioning, right? Or in an outdoor setting, because I see what we increased the 500. People can gather up to 500, and people now only need to be 3 feet apart. But at this point in time, the government needs to mandate the wearing of masks in these specific settings. So those are my
okay. I want to just respond to something. You said that mandatory pre-testing before you get on the flight. And that's what I was trying to say about the airline industry. It should not really only apply to Barbados. I because a lot of what is being spread most of the time, it probably is on that airplane, because there's nowhere for people to breathe, to go, the air condition is there, the one bathroom.
I think it's more complex than that, because I think that something about the way the filters, engineers will probably know more about this than I do, mm-hmm. but the way the flights and stuff, actually, I think the risk of getting it on the flight, especially if everyone is wearing a mask, mind you, people don't wear the mask when they're drinking a beverage or something like that.
Well, they can't. They have to eat,
right.
Drink something.
So there's a risk. And the pre-testing does not reduce the risk. It has its flaws. You can pick up the virus in the airport. In fact, an airport is a high-risk area. Mm-hmm. So it has flaws, but certainly the person who is positive 72 hours or 2 days before the flight, we don't need them here in our isolation.
But how do we stop that person from getting on a flight?
Because we do it like a visa system. If you don't fit certain criteria, the airlines do it all the time. If you don't have a visa to get into the U.S., the airlines get fined every person that turns up without that mm-hmm. visa.
But understand really what I'm saying. There are people allowed to come to Barbados without a test, you know. There are those who have to be tested, and there are those who come in who did not do the 72 hours.
We are the ones who did not make it mandatory. We strongly encouraged it, but we did not make it mandatory. So in terms of solutions, one solution would be as part of entry requirements for Barbados, and countries set up their entry requirements all the time. So part of our entry requirements should be that this test is mandatory.
But what I'm saying to you is that you are already on the plane from the other end who did not have the same requirement that you are saying. Already landed here.
When a government sets up entry requirements, the onus now comes on the airlines to ensure that you meet those requirements. So if you turn up to an airport in Barbados, don't they check for your visa and make sure it's valid before you get on the plane to fly to the U.S.? That's because they're fined if you arrive there without it. So in other words, if Barbados makes it an entry requirement that you have to have that 72-hour pre-test, when you arrive at the airport in JFK and you don't have it, the person, the gate agent says, I'm sorry, sir, you cannot board this flight.
But
it has nothing to do with
that's not happening, because if that was happening...
We in Barbados have not made it mandatory.
But we are on the same page. We are on the same page for sure. We just probably seen it two different ways. What I'm saying is you should not be able to get on that flight to come here if you have not been tested. But part of the protocols... coming here, it says here, there's a section here saying that if you didn't have a proof of the negative COVID PCR test,
you'll be tested here. But what I'm saying is we don't need those people in our isolation facility, because as the days go by and we have four flights coming in at 10 days, 11 days, 12 days, we're going to start having more and more of these people who will not come with a test, get tested here, be positive, and fill up our isolation center with people who shouldn't have been here in the first place. Mm-hmm. Right? So that is one point. That's one suggestion, because the caller wanted to have suggestions. The other suggestion is, now that we want to open and we recognize the risks are significant, we need to make masks mandatory. So it is not up to shopkeepers, store owners, gyms, and all these different people to say, please wear a mask. It should be mandatory in indoor spaces or in outdoor settings where there are lots of people. And I must tell you, I heard a conversation this morning where a guy comes on and he's, you know, wax poetic about these things are dangerous people, this thing killing people. And then you have the chorus from people who say they have, you know, allergies and asthma and all these different things. There are doctors, there are medical students, there are nurses, nursing assistants, et cetera, et cetera. Many of them are asthmatics, many of them have allergies, and all of them wear masks for hours at a time, right? And so people talking about masks killing you because you're rebreathing air, that is all nonsense. And when we have callers saying,
does it not depend on the materials that you're using, ma'am, for a mask?
Meaning what? Meaning the material is doing
for
what?
Surgical mask is very different to these cloth masks that you're seeing in terms of the duration of time that you can wear it. A surgeon may wear a mask for right throughout the surgery, but that's a surgical mask. But the cloth masks, they're actually
less penetrated than the cloth masks that people are wearing, hence why people said in the beginning that they're not going to help you against the virus. So, you know, I'm not really getting that point either. People need to wear their mask. It might be uncomfortable at first, but...
No,
like,
but what I'm saying to you, you have three layers of cloth, in some cases four, and to wear that for a longer period than the surgical mask that doctors wear. A doctor could have a surgery for six hours, and he's okay because of the type of mask he's wearing.
But then common sense will tell people, you know, we need to tell people about not needing to have the four layers and carpet material on their face. You know, this is just, the idea of wearing the face coverings never said that it had to be absolutely this thing. We just asked that people wear these face coverings. Mm-hmm. So people may need to get a different mask.
All right, well, I'll give you the final word here because we got to wrap up.
So, you know, that's just my contribution, and thank you.
All right, thank you so much.